Okay, we're good.
One thing that I noticed when Louise was giving her presentation is that the Lord was working basically her whole life preparing her for such a time as this. Amen?
Right.
The teaching, all that. And then the second thing is the big picture. It just amazed me how the Lord wants her to go and teach in the Bible college in preparing these missionaries that will go from the Philippines to other parts of the Asian world.
Yeah.
That is just incredible. What a plan that is. It's exciting. That is exciting because so many souls are going to be saved as a result of her going and helping train nationals. Amen? And the other thing I appreciate, she realizes women don't preach, but they can teach, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited because I know the Lord's going to use this gal. And that is such a blessing. I'm going to get her to her right number of accompaniment. And we're going to have a special song. Glory to God. Sound of that cello, and what a beautiful instrument.
You have a name for your cello?
No, I haven't named her. It is a she.
Well, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our Bibles. We'll get right to our message, and we'll have Louise. She's been with us all day, so tonight we're going to, I've asked her to give her presentation again tonight, because We'll have folks here tonight that aren't here with us this morning. And we'll have another question and answer period. We'll learn more about the Philippines. But you know, here in America, we really, 1 Samuel chapter 13, folks. 1 Samuel 13. We really, we don't know what it's like other parts of the world. You know, we're so spoiled here in America. And it's not this way in other places. And as she spoke about the poverty and the needs of the Philippine people, it just breaks your heart. Brother Fulfo, my good friend in Olongapo, he told me, this is back in 86, he said at the time, there were 30,000 street children in Manila, to Manila alone, 30,000 street children. And he said most of them got that way by the prostitutes. If the prostitute gets pregnant, they have the child. As soon as that child is old enough to walk, like one, they boot them out and have to fend for themselves. And as a result, you've got thousands and thousands. One of his ministries is children's orphanages, Christian children's orphanages. And Brother Fulfo, what a blessing. I pray that Louise will get to meet him one day while she's out there. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 13 this morning, church. in 1 Samuel chapter 13, you know, one of the things that impressed me about Louise is that she has a real heart for God. Amen. She has a real heart to serve God. And I want to speak to you this morning on having a heart for God. Having a heart for God. Look with me in 1 Samuel chapter 13. The situation, we're about a little over a thousand years B.C. here in 1 Samuel 13. Saul has become king over Israel. And of course, they're at war with the Philistines. As usual, and the Philistines are winning. So Saul sends message to Samuel, send Samuel to make sacrifice to the Lord so we can beat our enemy. So Samuel says, okay, you tarry and I'll be there at this set time. Let's pick it up in verse number 8, 1 Samuel 13, and verse 8. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 13, look at me at verse 8. And he, that's Saul, tarried 7 days. According to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Beloved, I want to call your attention to verse 14 as my text. And it, look, note what it says here. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. I'm here to tell you this morning, beloved, that God is still seeking men and women after his own heart to serve him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that, Lord, we can have a heart after your heart because we have your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, I thank you this morning that you found a young man named David. And, Lord, you prepared him for ministry and you used him greatly. Lord, I'm so thankful, dear Lord, that you're still working today the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And you're still calling men and women and boys and girls into your service, O God. And Lord, the one thing we need is to have a heart for God. That's all you want, Lord, is our heart. Everything else will be provided by thine holy hand. We thank you this morning, and we ask you to bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated, church. I want to speak to you on having a heart for God. Amen. If there's one man in the Bible that we could say had a heart for God, it'd have to be David. Just meditate upon the Psalms, and you'll clearly see that David had a passion for God and for serving Him. He was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. You know, the difference between David and Saul, David was a sinner, just like Saul. But David had a repentant heart. Listen carefully. David had a tender heart. When David sinned, it grieved him to his heart. Saul could sin with seeming impunity. It didn't bother him. See, David wasn't that way. He had a tender heart toward God and the things of God. David learned at an early age to love the things that God loves and to hate the things that God hates. I want to tell you this morning, beloved, that if you want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, you will need to learn to love what God loves and hate what God hates. We need to develop a heart, a God-like heart, a mind, the mind of Christ, and thinking the way God thinks, operating the way God operates. Amen? Now, this morning, I want to speak to you on having a heart for God. I'll give you five things and I'll be done. First, having a heart for God means receiving the holy anointing of the Spirit of God. Look with me here in 1 Samuel. We'll stay in 1 Samuel, chapter 16. Having a heart for God first means receiving the holy anointing of the Spirit of the Lord. Look with me in chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? See, Saul's heart wasn't right. That was the problem with Saul. Fill thine horn with oil. Oil in the Bible is a type of what? The Spirit of God. Go and I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king amongst his sons. Drop down to verse 6. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before thee. Seven brothers David had, you know. One by one they're coming out. And Samuel say, no, that's not the one. That's not the one. Verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen? The Lord looketh on the heart. I'm here to tell you this morning, beloved, if you have a heart to serve God, God will use you. Because the Lord doesn't look on the height of Louise's stature. He looks on her heart. Amen? Oh, it's so important that you get this. Verse 8, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shemaiah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, I hear all thy children. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. It's David. Amen. Verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Notice in verse 13 that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. This is what Saul lacked. Saul, listen, folks, David had a heart for God, because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Amen? You will never have a heart for God until the Holy Spirit grabs hold of you and takes control of you. I'm so glad that I can have a heart for God by the Spirit of God. Amen? Without the Spirit of God, there's no heart for God. Oh, beloved, listen to me. You'll never have a heart for God until you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, I'm so glad this morning that we can be. Amen? An American tourist with an English gentleman was viewing the Niagara Falls Rapids when he said to his friend, come and I'll show you the greatest unused power supply in the world. Taking him to the foot of Niagara Falls, he said, there is the greatest unused power supply in the world. Oh no, my brother, not so, said the gentleman, the English gentleman. The greatest unused power supply in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God. Did you hear what I said? The man was right. The greatest unused power supply on earth is the Holy Spirit. And how few there be that find it. We're living in a time, folks, where folks, God's people don't want to be filled with the Spirit. Never mind the world. They don't know God. But we're living in a time of Laodicea where God's people are lukewarm. No heart to serve Him. No heart to study the Word and pray and seek God's face. Beloved, how we need to be filled with the Spirit in these last days if we're going to get the job done. The Holy Spirit strengthens us. He empowers us. He sanctifies us. He enables us to flee from temptation and sin. And He gives us a heart for God. Amen? You can't fabricate a heart for God. It has to come from within by the Spirit of God. It's the only way. It's not going to work elsewise. Listen, the great evangelist D.L. Moody, when he tells of his life's autobiography of the day that he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It happened one day in New York, he said. What a day was that? I can't describe it in words. I seldom refer to it. It's almost too sacred to name. I can only say that God revealed Himself to me that day like never before. I had such an experience of His love that I had to ask Him to stay His hand. I was praying out on the street of New York and asking, no, begging for the fullness of the Holy Spirit, when suddenly there fell on me the glory of the power of the Holy Ghost like never before. After that day, I went to preaching again all over America. My sermons were no different, but there were hundreds and hundreds converted in every city. I knew that it was not because of me, but Christ in me, the Spirit of the living God. Amen? The Holy Spirit began to work through D.L. Moody like never before. And it was the power of the Holy Spirit that made the difference in his ministry. Beloved, having a heart for God requires receiving the Spirit of God and His strength. Amen? I'm so glad that Louise doesn't have to go to the Philippines in her own strength. She's going in the Spirit of the Lord, in His power, in His divine ability. Glory to God. But something else this morning, having a heart for God means having no fear of the enemy. Here's an important point. If you want to have a heart for God, you must learn not to fear the enemy. Fear God and keep His commandments, but don't fear the enemy. He's a conquered foe, beloved. Look with me here in 1 Samuel 17. Look at verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered themselves together, their armies, to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah in Ephes-Demin. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. How many of you knows this morning that we're in a war? We have battles. We have to fight. Amen? You're a soldier in the Lord's army. It's not a game, Christianity. Amen? Verse 3, and the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel, God's people, stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. He was a giant of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. The man was over 10 feet tall. I mean, you know, this guy was huge. You know, your enemy's pretty big. But I'm glad to say that Jesus Christ has already defeated him. Verse 5, and he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 in shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weight 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And you know what the devil likes to do? Like Goliath, he likes to intimidate you. He wants you to think he's stronger than he is. He wants to scare you. Look at verse 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. The devil wants you to serve him. The devil wants you to fall prostrate before him and say, oh, I give up. You know, you're just too strong for me. Look at verse 9. Verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly what?
Afraid.
Afraid. afraid. They were intimidated by the enemy, and they were scared. Look at verse 12. Now David, I love the Bible. Now David, just at the right time, the little lad comes along, amen, was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. Now, beloved, drop down way to verse 15. Look at this. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. 40 is God's number of testing in the Bible. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. Notice how God is moving behind the scenes. He has Jesse send David to the camp to bring food to the brothers, right? And drop down with me to verse 22. Look at it, verse 22. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. David was listening. He was paying attention. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore, what?
Afraid.
Drop down with me to verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Folks, I see something in verse 26 that these other guys were lacking. And that is faith, spelled T-R-U-S-T in the Old Testament. David believed in the living God. Amen? Look with me in verse 32. Don't miss this. Verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go down and fight with this Philistine. Notice in verse 32 that David says, I'll take him on. In the name of the God of Israel, I'll fight him. I'll go at it with him. I'm not afraid. And he wasn't. Why? Because David didn't fear the enemy. All these big soldiers of Israel, they're running and hiding, in the, you know, and they're afraid of Goliath. And David says, I'll go, boys. Send me. Little David, just a boy. In Luke 10:19, Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus is saying, my people, you do not have to fear the enemy. I've already taken care of him on the cross in my resurrection. Amen? He's a defeated foe. Goliath was as good as dead when David said, I'll take him on. Why? Because he's the enemy of God's people, and God will fight for his people. David knew this. If you're going to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, listen, beloved, you're going to have to learn not to fear the enemy. I'm so glad of that this morning. Now, Foster Walker, an elderly Christian in his 70s, accidentally walked into the scene of a holdup at gunpoint in a store in Memphis, Tennessee recently. When the gunman pointed his .357 in his face and ordered him to surrender his money or die, Mr. Walker responded, and I quote, oh, please go ahead and shoot. I just got through reading my Bible, and it's a wonderful day to go to heaven. The robber, dumbfounded and visibly shaken, ran away without a word. Listen, folks, that old man had no fear of the enemy. John Wesley once said, give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I'll shake the world. I care not a straw whether they be clergymen or laymen. For such an one alone will overthrow the kingdom of Satan and build up the kingdom of God on earth. Amen. Folks, we don't have to fear. I got good news this morning. Jesus Christ is King of Kings. There is no greater power in all the universe than our Savior. Remember the Alamo? The Alamo. The fatal confrontation began on February 23rd, 1836, at a mission fort in San Antonio, Texas, known as the Alamo. For 12 straight days, round the clock, Santa Anna and his army surrounded and bombarded the Alamo with heavy artillery. Time and again, Travis, Crockett, Bowie, and their small band of Texans staved off the Mexican army's assault. But gradually, their numbers dwindled through death and injury. But not one man deserted or surrendered his post. All but five of the Texans died fighting, and those five were executed by the Mexican army. 1,500 men lost their lives in this seeming defeat. But most importantly, The defense of the Alamo gave the Texans a great rallying cry. Remember the Alamo! Remember the Alamo! That quickly became an inspirational symbol of heroic resistance. Eventually, the war was won by remembering the Alamo. Amen? Folks, we need to be just like those brave Texans and fight! Fight the enemy! Don't give in! Don't give up! Don't quit on God. Know that you already have. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting in victory. The victory's already won. I'm so glad. Now, something else I want you to see this morning. Having a heart for God, listen carefully. Having a heart for God means remembering past victories. You know how many times God has delivered you? Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Every single one of us can give up recently. Tried to kill her, you know, again last month. Couldn't succeed because God's with her. Amen? Listen, having a heart for God means remembering past victories. Look at chapter 17 again. Look at verse 33. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep." He says, "I remember a time I was out there in the field with my sheep, and a bear and a lion came along, and they took one of my sheep." And David said, look at it, verse 33, verse 34. And David said, "There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." David says, "I remember a time when God delivered my little sheep from that bear. And I smote him and killed him." Amen? In Jesus' name. David remembered past victories, folks. It was fresh in his mind. He said, "Just like that bear, I couldn't have beat him by myself, but God gave me strength. I know I can go against this Philistine." David remembered. Verse 35. "And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David had confidence that God would give him victory over Goliath because of his past victories. Folks, we need to remember what God has done for us in the past, because he'll do the same for us today and tomorrow. He doesn't change. Amen? Oh, I'm so glad. Being confident, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's faithful. He won't give up. He won't quit. He'll keep on delivering you. I'm so glad of that. Sometimes we forget what God has done for us in the past. Sometimes we forget all the trials he's brought us through. In John Bunyan's greatest volume, Pilgrim's Progress, you know I'm a big fan, the incident is related of how a Christian decides to leave the main highway and follow another path which seemed easier. But this straight path leads him into the territory of Giant Despair, who owns Doubting Castle. Eventually, Christian is captured by Giant Despair and kept in a dark dungeon. He is then advised to kill himself. The giant said that there was no use trying to keep on with his journey. For a time, it seemed as if Despair had really conquered Christian. But then, Hope, Christian's companion, reminds him of previous victories. So it came about that on Saturday about midnight, they began to pray and continued all night till morning. So a little before it was day, good Christian, as one half amazed, broke out in passionate speech, "What a fool am I, just to lie in a stinking dungeon when I could well be at liberty. I have a key in my bosom called Promise that will open any door in Doubting Castle." Then said Hope, "That's good news, good brother. Pluck it out of thy bosom and try it." And just then, as the sun began to shine, the prison gates flew open, and Christian was set free. He remembered, "I've got a key in my bosom called prayer." Amen? And he was set free. Beloved, having a heart for God means remembering past victories. Saying, "I know what God has done for me in the past, and I know I can trust him today." Glory to God. Something else, though, concerning having a heart for God. Having a heart for God means giving all the glory to him. Amen? Giving all the glory to him. Look with me here in 1 Samuel chapter 17 again. Look at verse 40. Verse 40. "And he," David, "put his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, and even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he said he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And look with me here in verse 43. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, but with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines of this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Notice, David says in verse 47 that the battle is the Lord's. Listen, do you know that our Lord has never lost a battle? Never! He's the undefeated champion of eternity. Glory to God. David lost a few, but not his God. Amen? Jeremiah 9:23, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. Amen. He's saying, you want to glory in something? Glory in the Lord. And give him all the glory. You know what David is doing here? He's saying to the Philistine, in the hearing of all of the soldiers of Israel, our God is going to deliver you. He's giving all the glory to God. He says, I'm just an instrument. That's all I am. But my God is going to give the victory. I'm so glad. A friend once asked Mrs. Thomas Edison, the great inventor, have you ever asked your husband where he gets all the ideas that make him such a famous inventor? Thoughtfully, Mrs. Edison replied, yes, I did ask him once. He didn't say anything, though he just pointed upward toward heaven and smiled. From God, amen. Thomas Edison was a born-again Christian. Many are unaware that Christopher Columbus was born again, and he believed the Bible, amen, which said that the earth is a circle, not flat. On October 12th in 1492, Columbus landed on America's shores, but it is not widely known that the so-called Admiral of the Oceans discovered America believing that he was under the guidance and illumination of the Holy Spirit, not the light of the stars. In 1502, 10 years after his great expedition, he wrote back to King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella these words, and I quote, in carrying out this enterprise, neither reason nor mathematics nor maps were of any use to me at all, but fully accomplished were the words of Isaiah the prophet, fear not, for I am with thee. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee, for I am the Lord thy God, thy Savior. Columbus believed those words, and he believed that God was leading him to discover a great land called America, and he did. Christopher Columbus had a heart for God because he gave all the glory to God. Amen? He told the king, it was God that led me to discover this great land. But one more thing I want you to see, and I'll be done, concerning having a heart for God. Listen carefully. Having a heart for God means encouraging the people of God. Amen? David was an encourager. Look with me in chapter 17 again at verse 48. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted. Notice, David didn't run the other way. He hasted. That means he hurried up, running to the fight of the enemy. Look at it, verse 48. David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David, listen to me. Let me make a point before we continue here. You will never win a battle by retreating. The enemy wants to intimidate you and wants to make you back up. And as soon as you start taking backward steps, you won't stop. You'll be defeated. Always meet him head on. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, victory is yours. Verse 49, and David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead. And he said, nothing like that's ever entered my mind before. Amen. Verse 49, and he fell upon his face to the earth. And so David prevailed over the Philistine, and with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. He didn't need one. He had something better. Amen? Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah, watch it, 52. And the men of Israel and of Judah, God's people, arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. Now they want to fight. And thou come to the valley, to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sharim, unto Gath, even unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. Notice here that David encouraged the whole army of Israel, and they came to fight in the battle. And they won the battle. Why? Because one little boy stood up against the enemy. He encouraged the children of Israel. You know what I want to do? I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. And if I ever discourage you, you let me know. You let me know, because I never want to discourage. I want to edify you. I want to build you up. And I want to encourage you to fight the battle and continue on in the name of Jesus Christ. So important. In John chapter 21, don't turn there. Jesus said to Peter, lovest thou me, Peter? Peter said, yea, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Lovest thou me, Peter? Yea, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Lovest thou me, Peter? Yea, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Encourage my people. Preach my word. Give them what I said to say. Amen. I'm so glad that you and I can be encouragers of the sheep. God's called us to be encouragers. God's called us to build each other up, to edify, encourage my sheep, feed my sheep, bless my faithful people, feed them my word. You say, that's okay for you, Pastor. I'm not like that. Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit in you is. And the Holy Spirit will work. I love what Louise said. She said, I was so shy, I couldn't even witness to somebody. You know what? Hey, she's going to the Philippines as a missionary. Not because of her, because of the Spirit of God in her. Amen? He's making her an encourager. Now, you're supposed to encourage each other, one another. Having a heart for God means encouraging one another. And we can do that. We can do that by praying for each other. We can do that by helping each other in whatever need we have. We can do that by coming to church. Just being here is an encouragement to me. By loving one another as a family, having a heart for God means, listen now, it means receiving the anointing of the Spirit of God. Having a heart for God means having no fear of the enemy. Amen? Having a heart for God means remembering past victories. Having a heart for God means giving all the glory to God. Having a heart for God means encouraging the people of God. You know, there's a song, I like the words. It says, change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. May I be like you. Is that your prayer today? You want to have a heart after God's own heart? I know you do. That's why you're in church this morning. And every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, how we thank you this morning that we can have a heart after God's own heart. It begins with the Holy Spirit taking control of our lives. Lord, I'm so thankful that by your Holy Spirit indwelling, sanctifying, and empowering, we can be Christ-like. We can have a heart like God's heart. I'm so glad this morning, Father, that you love us. And Lord, you've called us to be encouragers. You've called us to serve you. You've called us to do battle against the enemy, Lord. But I'm so thankful that the victory is already won by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we are enjoying the fruits of your victory. Because, You died and was buried, and you rose again, victorious over every enemy of our soul. Lord, help us to remember always that Jesus is our victory. We love you today, and we thank you, Lord, for helping us to have hearts like your heart. A man or a woman after God's own heart. That's what we want to be. We want to be like Jesus, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that as we seek your face in sincerity and in truth, we can have that heart. And Lord, we can nourish that by your word and by prayer and by meditation upon thee. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's all stand. And, Louise, you up to a closing song? You want to do another one?
Sure.
Praise the Lord. Come right ahead, sister. We're going to have another special by Louise on the cello. And boy, that thing sounds so sweet. Amen? Folks, after she, well, actually, while she plays, I'm going to pass the plate. And don't forget, we want to be a blessing to her, too. So if you want to designate, like I did, you can put it in one envelope, but designate how much you want to go to Louise. Praise the Lord. Father, bless the offering today. We thank you so much for sending Sister Louise to us. We pray for her mission to the Philippines, oh God, that would bear much fruit, that multitudes of souls would be saved as a result of her going. And Lord, we pray you provide every need she has to go to the field, including plane tickets, Lord, including finances, Lord. It costs money to go places and serve you, and we pray you provide everything needed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
You have your little clicker.
We'll, don't worry. We'll be taking another offering tonight. Sister,
tonight? Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Don't give me time to do that.
Oh, praise God. Oh, yeah, yeah. What number?
Let's try 13.
13.
I kind of messed up last time.
Thank you.
Love that hymn. Glory to God. Guys, we weren't quite finished out here. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Carl to pray for the food we're about to have. And thank the Lord we'll have Louise again tonight. What a blessing, sister, to have you.
Lord, we thank you that we've been here this morning. We've had this message. We've had the presentation that our sister has given us, that she's accepted this challenge to go to the Philippines and take on this work that's laid before her, Lord, without hesitation. We thank you, Lord, for her courage. We pray you bless her and you be with her and guide her and that you keep her safe in this endeavor, Lord. We ask you, Lord, also to bless the food that you've provided this morning, to the nourishment of our bodies. You keep us healthy and strong and help us, Lord, to be a good and faithful witness to all. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.